Blog Talk Radio.
Technology guru Dan Burris said some time ago that the next 10 years of technology has already been invented. We just have to catch up with it. When we look at the invasion of technology and how our world is so interconnected through technology, how does that really apply to our communication skills? What do we need to really know in order to communicate more effectively in the world of technology? Well, I brought an expert on the air, and she's going to give us 12 very important tips, communication secret tips, to help us to communicate more effectively, whether you're online, on the phone, or certainly talking face-to-face. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and we are so glad that you joined us today on Focus on Empowerment. Welcome to the show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you are listening to Focus on Empowerment. We want to empower your lives, not just on your job, but certainly wherever you live in the community, in your homes, with your faith-based organizations, and with all the things that you do both on and off the job. A lot of that has to do with technology, and I've brought an expert on the air to talk to us about 12 different tips. They are tips that are going to be part of her upcoming book about how we can communicate more effectively. And then toward the end of the show, I'm going to give you a little insight into a very powerful and wonderful Muslim forum that I attended last week with 1,100 Muslims and the governor of Massachusetts. So you have to stay tuned, and I'll tell you more about that and some of the issues that are facing the Muslim communities all over the United States. Well, we welcome to the airwaves a very good friend of mine from Atlanta who is a leading expert in terms of communications. She is a speaker, success skills trainer, and author, and president of Star Communication or Star Consulting and Training. Her business trademark and life philosophy is just get serious. I want to talk to her about that too. She's also the co-author of several books, and her upcoming book is 303 Solutions to Communicating Effectively and Getting Serious. Her clients include the City of Atlanta, the Coca-Cola Company, can't get much bigger than that, and the Center of Disease Control and many other companies and organizations. It really is my pleasure to have Donna Satchel as a guest on Focus on Empowerment. Hello, Donna. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Carol. It is my pleasure to be on your show. Thank you so very much for inviting me to be a guest speaker today. I am honored. Thank you.
I'm so glad you're on. We're going to talk about your life story in just a few minutes, and I know we have friends who are here in the chat room. I believe we may have a young man who I know from Kenya, Naftal Mwenge, who is possibly listening from Kenya. We want to welcome him, welcome all of our visitors who are on the chat room. This is a really important topic. It doesn't make any difference where you are living. We all need to know how to communicate, and I think probably it should be mandatory that every human being go through some kind of communications course every couple of years, because we just don't get it right all the time, and we goof up and we make mistakes and blow relationships and all those things that really can make us more powerful, empowered people. So, Donna, I want to walk us through. You have 12 different tips. Some of these tips you have created and generated, and some are from others that are going to be featured in your book. And the first one I think we all need to know, and the first one is, do not monopolize the conversation. We do that when we focus on being interesting instead of being interested. Ooh, talk to us about that, Donna.
Hey, and that is one of, you're going to hear me say this several times, oh, that's one of my favorites. That's one of my favorites. It is one of my favorites, though. And I think what happens, we get so excited about what we have to say. Mm-hmm. What's going in our lives, what's going good, what's going bad, and we just start talking and talking and talking and talking. And the best way to correct that monopolizing of a conversation is at any point during a conversation, just think to yourself for a moment, have I spoke 50% of the time? Mm-hmm. Have I spoke 80% of the time? Have I spoke 3% of the time? How much of this time have I been speaking versus the other person?
Hmm.
I think what happens is many times we don't do that. Or even at the end of a conversation, let's say you've you're talking with someone at a networking event, and then you walk away from them. You just do a mental check and think, oh, what percent of time was I speaking? The same thing when you get off the phone or even during a conversation. If it's during a conversation, you can adjust it. If you think you've been the person talking too much, you
right.
can just swing that conversation over to them.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's at the end of a conversation, then you realize, you know what? The next conversation, I have to be more conscious and make sure that the other person has as much time to share what's going on with them.
Well, you know, I really think that is the key. You've got to have the conscientious awareness that you're not developing or you're not creating a monologue. This is a dialogue, or it could be with a group of people. What I find so fascinating are the personalities and people who will enter into your conversation and then very carefully move it over so that it becomes their conversation, and they take off and talk about whatever they want to that makes them that is of interest to them.
Mhm. And it's just, and it's so, when you think about it, so very rude to do.
Mhm.
Think about it as being rude because we're just not conscious of it. Like you said, two people are talking, somebody else joins in, the next thing you know, it's their conversation.
Right.
But what we fail to realize is that everyone, at least for me, is interesting.
Hmm.
Oh, I mean, people are just so fascinating if you give them a chance so that you understand what's going on in their lives.
True.
I think the average individual, if you go beyond the, you know, how are you, if you go beyond the common courtesies, they're interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't give them a chance.
No.
But we don't find that out.
Well,
and then I think that cell phones, and I know I'm going to step on some people's toes with this.
That's okay.
This has happened to me so often. Someone will call me. They're on their cell phone. They're going somewhere.
Yeah.
They call me. They start talking and talking and talking and talking. And next thing I know, I hear, oh, I just arrived. I'll talk to you later.
My goodness, yeah.
That ever happened to you, Carol?
Oh, very much so. Very so.
And what happens,
yep.
because they have arrived somewhere,
mm-hmm.
they now have to get off the phone.
Yes, yes. So you weren't really that important to them. It's a matter of how people prioritize the people they connect to, and clearly your priority, you were not the priority that you thought you were.
Right. You were a project to fill in their drive time. So we want to be careful that we don't do that to others either. And a good way not to do that, when I call somebody, and most of the time I try not to be using my cell phone, but if I do have the earpiece and I'm mm-hmm. calling someone, I make a conscious effort to make sure that we end the conversation after they have talked about something going on in their life.
Mm-hmm. So again,
I don't end a conversation with, oh, you know, I've just arrived, I got to go. No, let me make sure they have had their time to speak as well.
True. So, but it, again, you are being respectful and inclusive, and that's the important piece. We have a lot of action going on in the chat room and have a question or two to ask you, but I'm going to go through a couple more of these tips, and then we're going to ask the questions that have been posed in the chat room, so fire away. The next one, tip number two, is respond to what the person said, not what you think he said. Please teach us something about that, Donna.
Oh, yes. How often do we're engaged in a conversation and somebody asks a question, and before they have even finished asking the question, we're giving a response?
Hmm.
Well, number one, they haven't finished asking. We're almost interrupting them, which means we're not thinking. When you
right.
interrupt someone in the process of them talking, that means you're not fully engaged in listening to them. So now we're running off with some kind of answer, and we might not have heard the correct thing that they said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And particularly, I think when we're speakers and trainers, we're kind of taught this as
mm-hmm.
a speaker. If somebody raises a question, you're going to repeat the question to make sure that you got it right before you respond. But the same thing is true even when you're not a quote-unquote speaker. You want to make sure that you're responding to what the person after what the person said, and you do that by being conscious of what they're saying. When we have that inner dialogue going in, on and off in our minds, that's not right, they're saying the wrong thing, that doesn't make sense, da, 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 then you're not listening to what the person's saying.
Right.
You're not conscious.
Right. Right. And I think one of the best things that you can do is strictly to repeat what the person has said. If I hear you correctly, if I were to repeat what you said, Donna, it's a matter of let me see it. Let me make sure I have this correct and paraphrase what the person has said to make sure that the conversation is coherent and that you're on the same page.
Right. And particularly when there are other people involved. I was at a meeting, this is 2 weeks ago, and it was so interesting. The person who was speaking, they took a question from someone in the audience.
Right.
Well, I misunderstood the question. It was on me.
Right.
So when the person was responding to the question, I'm thinking, no, but, you know, the individual, they didn't ask that. They didn't get it right. Well, in that case, I was mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
But later on, I said to a guest who was there as well, I said, and I'll just call him Mr. Jones.
Right.
I said, you know, Mr. Jones, you know, he gave an answer, but he didn't give an answer to the right question. They said, yes, he did. I said, oh, my goodness. So in that case, I had it wrong, but because he didn't paraphrase it, he just responded, then I'm not sure what other people were thinking.
Hmm.
So, and it really shows that you have an interest in responding correctly. It also gives you a moment to start to organize your response.
Exactly.
And it's amazing how quickly the mind works. You might say, well, you know, you're only paraphrasing. It's, you know, no more than a few seconds. Our minds work so fast.
Mm.
Within that few seconds, your mind is starting to organize what's the correct response, how do I say it, et cetera, et cetera.
My. Great tips. We want to move on to number three, and it says avoid taking action based on hearsay. Ooh, now we're talking about rumors.
Now we're talking about rumors, gossip. Well, I'm a firm believer, number one, that you shouldn't be gossiping to begin with.
Right,
and we could spend just like a whole 20 minutes just talking about that. But so often we hear something, and we're talking to somebody else, and we're taking action. Go back to the person who originally said it and make sure that that's what they said.
Mm-hmm. Or the source. Go back to the source.
Yeah, go back to the source.
When
I say the person, go back to the original source to make sure that, in fact, that's what they said, that's what they want, because many times when a message travels from one person to someone else, to someone else, to the third person, by the time it comes to you, is that really what happened? No.
Right.
It's been altered, it's been changed, and sometimes not even on purpose.
Yeah. And, you know, we play the games, those of us who are in the speaking business, where you start off with one set of facts, and then that person whispers those facts to the ear of the next person, and by the time you get around the circle, it's a completely different story.
Right. So someone heard something, one person omitted a major fact, somebody heard something, they heard it differently, they said, it's very similar to if you have a group of people and you're saying something, they are all picking up something different.
Exactly.
From what you're
saying. That is so true. And I think what I want to do is the Idea Coach has a couple of questions here. He said, you've chosen one of my favorite folks as a guest today. And what suggestions do you have for helping municipal governments to enhance communication regarding things like tax increases, which is like the third rail?
In terms of, is he talking about communicating the tax increases? I need a little bit more on what he's looking for.
And he said, I asked the question because just last night, this is from Idea Coach again, folks in my town attended a town hall because of an unannounced tax hike. Much of the outrage would have been contained if a letter of explanation was included with the bill. And he is basically trying to improve communications. He'd like to see, okay, so that's the question. So, again, this was an unannounced third rail, which is a tax hike. People are angry. They're emotional. They're coming to the meeting. So what kind of advice would you give under those circumstances?
Well, under those circumstances, the first thing he recommended should have been done, which was people should have gotten something in the mail.
Exactly.
Okay, but let's say that has not happened. So people have come in. Well, you're going to have to give people a chance to vent.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't, in my mind, doesn't make sense to go into this is why we did this. Give people a chance to vent and get it off of their chest. Many
right.
times that's what people want to do when they're angry and upset.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is often someone starts talking, they're upset, and then the individual they're addressing comes back with trying to justify, in this case, justifying the rate increase. Well,
mm-hmm.
hear everyone out. Give people a chance. I believe, I wasn't at this meeting, but I can believe there was probably a lot of interrupting people when they were angry.
Exactly.
When you interrupt people when they're angry, they get more angry because they're thinking, you're not listening to me.
Right.
You want to set the stage for a dialogue. You want to set the stage for people to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You want to maybe even possibly apologize that there was no communication beforehand.
Hmm.
And start think people organizing the event or organizing this discussion,
right.
they need to approach it from an empathy point of view. How would you feel you get this increase, and it's huge.
Right.
How would you want to be treated? If you were attending a meeting, what would you want those people to say?
So the empathy, giving people space to vent, and then clarifying the issues from that perspective. Easier said than done, but certainly very important in diffusing a very angry, hostile audience, because you know how people feel about any kind of increase, tax increases, et cetera.
Right. And I think particularly the people who are planning this, they could afford the tax increase. Let's say it's 10%, 10%
yes.
tax increase. Well, they need to think, imagine if they received a bill and it was a 60% in tax increase.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is then they can start to develop the empathy and
right.
understand how these people feel. See, if they can afford the tax increase, they don't really, well, you know, it's a 10% tax increase. You know, things are going up, da-da-da-da. But if they put themselves in a position where it's huge and it's massive and it's something they wouldn't be able to accept, then they would know how to better address the situation.
All very good points. And Idea Coach has a running dialogue in the chat room, says, yes, should have been the moderator. And he said that the moderator did apologize for not putting it in writing. So those were made, and he thanks you for this. He said he should set up a blog for the moderator as well. So we'll just keep this conversation going. And, again, you can just see how easily communications can run awry when certain things aren't done, and it just triggers those kind of emotions. What about number four, important conversations deserve your best attention.
Right. There's many reasons why we have a conversation, many reasons why we speak. Sometimes it's just, you know, just general information. Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's nothing important or crucial. But for those conversations that are important and crucial, number one, you want to take the time to think, how am I going to address this issue? What am I going to say? What am I going to ask? And also, how am I going to listen? And listening takes a lot of energy.
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're planning to have that conversation with the person when they're at their best and you're at your best.
Mm-hmm.
Many times somebody will approach me with a situation and say, you know, it was at the end of the day, I was feeling tired, my manager calls me in, and he wants to have this conversation, or she wants to have this conversation. I'm tired, I'm drained. Well, that's not a good time to have a conversation with somebody.
No, it's not.
So you want to plan that out and think in terms of time of day, think in terms of the day of the week, a
mm-hmm.
Friday. At the end of the day, people, they're not even thinking about, unless they happen to work on Saturday, they're thinking about getting out of there.
Right. Right.
And if you're having a personal conversation, because these, what we're talking about, this applies to both business and personally, a personal conversation, don't wait till the person's come home, they're tired, they're stressed out. They don't want
to
hear it then.
No. So
you have
need
that
to
need to say it. You have that need to talk then. But I always say you want to speak in a way that's easy for others to listen. And
exactly.
Listen in a way that's easy for others to speak.
Yeah, and I know that.
And many times
those...
I want to talk about this now. I want to talk about this now. Well, how come the person doesn't want to hear it now?
Right, right.
So the more demanding or crucial that conversation is, the more you want to know how you're going to address it, what you're going to say, that you're going to spend time listening, not just talking, mm-hmm. and that you're going to use phrases like, this is the way I feel. Not this is what you did. This is the way I feel. Because no one can debate the way you feel,
mm-hmm.
but we can debate whether you did something or didn't do something.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to, and the more, once again, the more important the conversation, you might want to role play with someone mm-hmm. who's not the individual you're going to have the conversation with to make sure that you come to that conversation fully prepared, that you're not overly emotional, but you bring the right level of emotion to that. And a lot of times we might do that with a business conversation, but we don't often do that with a personal conversation. We just pick up the phone and I'm going to tell her how I feel.
Right.
I'm going to tell them how I feel.
Yes, yeah, and that's, oh boy, and then you spend 5 years trying to correct that one conversation. I would also say it's so important. These tips, many of these tips are coming from Donna. That particular tip came from Mike Monahan. He also gave the tip about hearsay. And then Greg Masulek, I believe that's how you pronounce it, gave the tip about respond to what the person said, not what you think he or she said. And all of these tips are part of the new anthology that Donna is a part of. Talk to us, Donna, about the tip that you have created, avoid taking phone calls when you cannot be fully attentive to the person calling. It really relates to number 4, especially if this is a very important conversation.
Right. What happens is, how many times have we been involved in a conversation? You're talking to somebody on the phone, and you hear them say something about, oh, my goodness, get that ball. You go, what? Oh, I'm watching TV. Well, they're watching TV and talking to you. Maybe they just need to watch TV and talk to you later.
Right.
One of the things I started doing years ago, because I've been on a journey to become a better communicator,
mm-hmm.
is I would say 90% of the time when I call someone, business, personal, I could be calling my mother, the first question out of my mouth is this a good time to talk?
Excellent.
Is this a good time? If they say no, then I'll call you later. I don't want to
right.
be trying to struggle to get somebody's attention.
Right.
And one of the things I found is, if I do that on an ongoing basis, then people will start saying to me, hey, Donna, is it a good time? I mean, I have friends who call me, you know, good friends. Is this a
mm-hmm.
good time to talk?
Are you sure?
And I'll say yes or no. Because if it's supposed to be a dialogue, it's not a dialogue if I'm not paying attention.
Exactly.
I found myself in a really embarrassing, you talk about an embarrassing situation a couple of years ago. There was a speaker I wanted to have a conversation with, didn't know him very well, had called him several times, and finally he called me back. And as he is talking to me, I'm typing away. You know, I'm on the Internet doing some things.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking for a few minutes. I wanted advice from him. And at one point he says, is this a good time? Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I'm going to call him Harry. Yeah, it's fine, Harry. Okay, so Harry continues talking. And then he said to me a little later on, is this a good time? Yeah, Harry, it's fine. It's fine. He keeps talking. And then he asked me the third time. When he asked me the third time, I was starting to get like a little annoyed. I was like, they keep asking me that. And I said, yes, it's fine. He said, if it's such a good time, why are you typing?
Oh, boy. Busted. He heard you.
I literally went. He said, and then he repeated it again because I didn't answer. He said, if it's a good time, Why are you typing?
Uh-huh.
That alerted me. Now, how often do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
We do that, but when you're typing or on the internet or watching TV or opening mail, you're not fully connected to that person's conversation.
Yes.
And you know you're not fully connected when you get off the phone and you try to remember what they said and you don't know what they said.
And you know what that is? That's because we multitask so much. You just said the same thing. Even running this show, I'm running the board, I am managing the chat room, I'm listening to what you're saying. It just absolutely diminishes the context of the conversation. So just imagine yourself, you're typing up maybe a report, you're talking to your boss, or you're talking to your supervisor, and then your cell phone rings, and it's your kid who you forgot to pick up from soccer practice. So that,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the story of our lives.
Right.
It really is. Yep.
And we think we can multitask. We think we can do all these things, but what we don't realize is, yes, we're doing them, but the more tasks we add on, we're doing that task at a lower level of performance.
Exactly. Exactly.
I can watch TV, have a conversation, do this, do that, but am I doing them all to the best of my abilities? I doubt it.
Hmm. And that's the thing. You said earlier that our concentration is diminished with the amount of multitasking that we do. And I'm going to have to move on because we could spend the rest of the day on this, but the next 2 points I think are going to be very important for our audience, and Idea Coach is very interested in some more listening tips from you as well. The next one is avoid making judgments about what the person is saying because of their appearance, opinion, experience, or speaking abilities. Ooh,
right.
A big one.
Yes, and the interesting thing is these are things we know this. Most of us have been taught this from grade school. You
mm-hmm.
know, you don't judge a book by its cover. We know this. But how many times do we slip into doing it because the person, the way they look, they're not attired correctly, they're too young of it. You know, that's just a child. She doesn't know what she's talking about. And you want to check yourself when you see yourself doing it.
Right.
Be open that I believe anyone can give me a good idea. Anyone can give me knowledge. And people don't have to look a certain way
mm-hmm.
for me to pay attention to what they have to say. And what you do, once again, how do you correct yourself? When you can feel yourself losing interest. You can hear yourself saying, look at that outfit. I can't believe it. Look at all those earrings in his ear. Oh, look at that nose ring. And you can hear yourself saying that. And
yeah.
Once you do, it's, so what?
Right, right.
That's what becomes the response. You want to say, so what? Let me pay attention. Because just like you think they look unusual, guess what? You in that polished suit, or whatever it is you have on,
mm-hmm.
you probably look unusual to them.
And I think also you have to remember, you said this earlier in one of your tips, everyone has something important to say. There is something of value that individual has to say. It is up to you to pay attention to it. And I just had a real-life situation that happened probably about a month ago, where I was at a particular point, at a place, I needed to get to a conference I was going to, and the people I was standing around, I quickly formed opinions about them, not
mm-hmm.
realizing that once I got beyond that point, they had some really interesting things to say, and it was valuable. It was a valuable conversation. But you have to sort of close up that stereotypical box that is up there that is just waiting to open up all the time, realizing that somebody has some very important conversational points or some value points to give to you. I want to tie this in to number 7, and it says that this is Donna Satchel, just a fabulous communication specialist that we're talking to. These are going to be part of a book called 303 Solutions to Communicating Effectively and Getting Results, and many of these tips have been created by Donna. The others, I'm going to give the names of those individuals. This one says, put twice as much effort into listening as you do into speaking, and this is from Doug Smart. Ooh, big one. Talk to us about that, Donna.
how, and I think we can judge whether we're listening or whether we're not listening by how often we interrupt someone. And that's what kind of becomes the trigger. If you're talking to someone and you find yourself saying something, go, oh, I'm so sorry, then that means you weren't listening to them. You were having an internal conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a matter of being really interesting and turning off that inner dialogue that's saying, that's right, that's wrong, that doesn't make any sense. It's moving from that space to really listening to the person, not just the word.
Right.
What if they're in your presence, looking at them, not from a visual perspective, what they look like, but we also communicate through our facial expressions.
Oh, yeah.
We also communicate through the way we stand. All of that becomes part of the communication. We communicate through our tone.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe we communicate by if we are using a variation in the way we would normally speak.
Right.
Many times I'll call my mother, and I was talking to her yesterday, and you know, I said, so how are you feeling? And she said, I'm feeling fine, but she said it a little differently than she normally does.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I heard there was a variation. It wasn't normal. She goes, I'm feeling fine. She said, I'm feeling fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm feeling fine is okay, but I knew that's not the way she normally says it.
Mm-hmm.
A variation can indicate that something's off or that something's very, person's very, very happy or very sad, but you're not going to hear those things or recognize those things if you're not fully engaged.
Mm-hmm. And I think
it
makes sense, and I'm just listening because of how attuned you are with the relationship you have with your mother, so you knew that something was not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also sort of thinking about we're speaking about people where English is their first language, but we live in a big world. I deal a lot with diversity and multicultural activities. This becomes even more complex when you're talking to someone where English is not their first language, and they are struggling to understand you and hear you, and maybe their body language sort of makes sense. They're nodding their head like they're understanding, but they're really not understanding. Do you have any suggestions for those where the language is English is not their first language, but they are really trying to communicate effectively with an English speaker?
Well, one of the things they want to do is they want to really look like they're interested,
mm-hmm.
really have that look of interest. And then if the person says something that they don't understand,
yes,
they want to ask, do you mind, could you repeat that, please?
Uh-huh.
I didn't get that. So you want to ask them to repeat it. You want to ask them to rephrase it. If they use a word that you're not familiar with, don't be embarrassed. I always think, you know, I'm the type of person, if you can, I only speak English. So when someone speaks another language, I'm so impressed.
Mm-hmm.
I am literally impressed that people can speak two or three languages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So don't shrink away as you're the person whose English is your second language. Don't shrink away from the fact that you're command of English might not be as good as someone who was born here because
okay.
you have the advantage and the pride of being able to speak two or three languages.
Right, right.
A lot of times I think what happens is the person who English is not their second language, they hear a word, there's something they don't understand, and they get embarrassed.
Exactly.
By getting embarrassed, they don't ask, can you repeat that? I don't understand. So they walk away not fully understanding what was said.
Mm-hmm.
You come back, you come at that from a different perspective when you realize the value you have that you can speak two languages.
Exactly.
And just because English is not your most fluent language, you speak two or three languages. That's something to be proud of.
Absolutely.
As opposed to English is my second language, and I don't speak it that well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mindset.
And
if you come back at it from a different mindset, then you're going to be proud of the fact that you do have some command of English and that it's okay to ask a question. And believe it or not, the question you're asking is probably because the person is speaking in a way that even if they were speaking to someone who English was their first language, might not understand what they were saying either.
I like the fact that you said, please excuse me for interrupting you. I like the fact that you said it is a mindset, and it is up to the person really taking pride in the fact that they speak several languages, even though they are addressing the question of the conversation is being addressed to an English speaker. So to me, those are the real salient points in representing yourself that way.
Right. And then the person who's talking to someone where English is not their second language, you're the individual, you want to make sure that you don't use condescending words or tones or gestures. And you might want to slow down your speech if you know, I happen to know I speak very fast. So if I'm talking to someone and English is not their first language, I'm going to slow my pace down just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit if I think they don't understand me. And I'm not doing that to insult them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing that so that they can understand what I'm saying. I'm doing that as a point of being respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And just slow it down. Or else if you're speaking to someone, and once again, English is not their first language, you might want to repeat something. You might want to say, did I communicate that? Did you understand that? But saying it in a way that the person knows you are being sincere.
Right, right.
And it's always tone and visual that's more important than the words. Because I can easily say, so did you get that?
Hmm.
Or else I can say, so, did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
And the person will understand your sense of sincerity.
Right, exactly. Well, we have to move on because, again, this is something we could also talk about for
while. Oh, yes, any of these points, definitely.
And Idea Coach, I'm sure you can see from our conversation and my conversation with Donna, she definitely conducts training sessions on listening skills for corporations and nonprofit organizations. What about number 8, be cautious about using the word obviously during a conversation?
Obviously. Oh, my goodness. This is one of my favorites, is I think there are certain words in the English language that just, if you don't say them properly, the word in and of itself says something. And to me, that word obviously, you say it wrong, it says to that person, that was so clear that anybody could understand it. That was so clear, and I find that I will call someone, I do customer service training as well, as you know, so
mm-hmm.
I'll call someone at a help desk, and you have no idea how many times people send me, well, obviously, and I'm like, I'm ready to, like, scream now. What you are saying to me is, you're stupid. That's clear, because that's what the word obvious means. So I always, when I do particularly customer service training or any
mm-hmm.
training, is say, try to avoid using that word.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you have to use that word, don't open with obviously.
Right.
Because people just hear it.
Yes.
If you can't shut down.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can't think of another word, put it in the middle of the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Drop your tone on the sentence. Don't make it sound so forceful.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to find another word to replace obviously, it's usually a series of words. It's not. There's
right.
no other really good replacement. Well, clearly is better than obviously, but it still has that connotation that this was obvious. This was clear. How come you didn't get it?
Yeah, and it's rather condescending also. I think that's what you're saying, is that you pepper a word, you pepper a conversation with a word like that, then you put a person down just with the very word, even though you don't say, I'm putting you down. It's just how you say it and the use of that particular word. Let's talk about sell yourself in 30 seconds.
Oh, yes. And it's funny because this one almost, in a way, contradicts the other one when we say don't judge a book by its cover. But
mm-hmm.
people do. Of course, people do. We have to find some ways to sell ourselves within the first 30 seconds of meeting someone. And mm-hmm. it's a shame that we have to, but that's the culture we live in. That's the way people function.
Right.
So I always think that as soon as someone sees me, they're making a judgment, whether I like it or not, on my appearance. Like it or not. So I want to keep that in mind. If I'm going to a networking event, I'm going to dress in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
Behavior is another way. What am I doing with my hands? How am I looking? Do I look interested? Do I look disheveled? What do I look like? And then the conversation. So the more important it is for you to make a first impression on someone, then the more you want to keep those things in mind. I always tell people I went to work at Clairol to work 1 week as a temporary secretary. I got there that day for that 1 week assignment. I was dressed. I had on a suit. The person came over to me. I can remember it was like yesterday. The person came over to me who I was going to work for. I immediately stood up. I stuck out my hand. I said good morning, and I thought his face was going to fall.
Oh.
I remember him thinking, because he had this look of kind of shock, surprise. I wasn't sure what the look was, but it was an unusual look.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. By noontime that day, he was offering the job.
Wow.
Because that impression was so strong.
And
the way I looked, I looked assertive, I stuck out my
yeah.
hand, I was smiling, I got there early. All of that made this impression. By 10:30, he said to someone, oh, she's an excellent secretary, and I had not done a thing yet.
But it was just the appearance. Oh,
just
my.
The appearance. Now, once again, that kind of somebody, I know somebody sitting there going, but didn't she say don't judge a book by its cover? Yes, I did say that, but people do that,
mm-hmm.
and we have to function in the real world. So if I'm looking at someone, I'm not going to judge a book by its cover, but I know that other people do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And knowing that other people do means that we have to act accordingly and to the best of our abilities. We're not going to get it right all the time. And I do believe that sometimes people will give us a second chance or a third chance to make a good impression. I believe
right.
that. But
right.
that's not going to happen all the time.
No. Let we have three more tips we want to get in, and we have to bring you back on, certainly, because these are so important, and we've gotten some great conversations going on in the chat room. The last tip was featured by Cheryl Stock. This next tip is by Kofi Matilojo, and it is reduce mumbo jumbo voicemail messages. And I want you to tie that in with Connie Dykin's tip, avoid EUI, emailing under the influence.
Oh, yes, yes. First one, how often do we call someone, we get their voicemail, and then we get flustered, and then we start trying to figure out what we're going to say? I would estimate that, I don't know what the percentage, but I'm going to say 60% of the time you call someone today, you're going to get a voicemail message. You're going to get their voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to just do that. So know in advance what you're going to say.
Right.
I remember one time someone left me a voicemail. She had to end up leaving like three of them. Oh, Donna, and I'm trying to figure out, well, what does she want me to do? And then it cut off on her, and then she called back. And you have about a minute to a minute and a half. Know what you want to say, particularly if it's an important call. The more important the call it is, if I'm calling a client, they don't want to hear, hi, this is Donna Satchel. My website is, and I was referred, they don't want to hear something.
No, no.
They want me to get to the point right away. I was referred by Carol Copeland Thomas. I'd like to speak to you about some customer service training. You can reach me at da-da-da-da-da. That's all they want to know.
Sure.
They don't want to hear, oh, I've been in business and I'm so sorry I didn't read. No, 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 no. You want to get to the chase. People we are so pressed for time.
Yeah.
That we want to know what we want to say, say it, get off the phone. The person picks up the message, they know what's expected of them.
So it's preparation. You have to prepare before you leave that voicemail message. And while the voicemail message is going off, please leave a message at the end of the tone. You could be forming your thoughts right then and there, or use paper and pen and write something down before you leave a message.
Right. And realize, once again, that most of us can tell the people we call how often are you going to get a voicemail? If you're going to get voicemail 80% of the time, well, just be prepared in your mind to leave a message.
Exactly.
Don't be surprised every time. Like, why are you surprised? This always happens. And then moving on to the next one, if we're finished with the first, with the previous one.
Yes.
EUI, emailing under the influence. You're in trouble any day of the week. You get an email, you're not sure what the person meant, you get upset, you're frustrated, or something happened and you're writing the email. I always say, when in a doubt, email is out.
Absolutely, yes.
So you want to, if you're angry, upset, you can write it out, hit save. Or what I always tell people, don't even write it out in email and Outlook. Go to Word. Write it in Word. Save it in Word. But how often can we be in email writing something out, we hit save, but we didn't hit save, we hit send. And now it's gone already.
And could be gone to five different people who should have never been part of the conversation in the first place, but they're part of the group that originally were included in the message being sent to you.
Oh, yes. I mean, we can spend just a whole hour just talking about email etiquette. That's a whole nother law. I mean, there's all kind of ramifications there.
And I'm gonna bring you back on the air to talk about that because that is so important.
Oh, my goodness,
yes.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely need to talk about that. But, yeah, just take your time. And when you do send an email, understand that that person receiving that email might send it to somebody else.
Right.
Last month, a colleague of mine called and said, I got an email from, I'm going to say Cindy. I got an email from Cindy, but, you know, this is what she said, and I don't understand, and da-da-da-da-da. So then she sends me the email for me to help her interpret what Cindy meant.
Oh, boy.
So now I'm involved in this, and I'm like, well, I'm not really sure. You need to pick up the phone and call her.
Yes, yes.
And reread your emails. Make sure that, see, because what happens with email, there's no tone, per se. If I'm talking to you over the phone, you can hear my tone. If we're in person, it's tone and visual. When it's on email, I don't know what that tone is. So I'm thinking of the last conversation we had, whether it was a pleasant one. I might be thinking of just the way I feel that day. I might just be off that day. So
right.
I read your good morning. I'm like, wow, she's real sarcastic. Good morning. It's just good morning. So many times we want to make sure that we're communicating to the best of our ability when it comes to email. Once again, when in doubt, pick up the phone, call someone. We've gotten to a point where we're so email conscious, you know, we're just, everybody's emailing each other, where now are we losing the ability to speak on the phone and have a conversation with someone, a rich conversation.
Yeah, I would say also when you're angry at someone and when the anger will just come through and just will be able to explode via cyberspace, it would be best just to, as you're saying, don't send it out, don't send the email, pick up the phone, and definitely call someone. And, yes, we're going to have you back on the show, Donna, because I can see this is a real hot topic in terms of social etiquette and knowing when to email and when things should be sent out. So please hold that thought so we can bring you back on and talk about that, because I want to get to point number 12, and that's understand your degree of directness and, if necessary, make adjustments. And this is your tip, your final tip.
Yes. I think it's so important to understand our personality styles, and there's so many things that make up our personality style. One of them is directness. So are you a very direct person? I was watching a program yesterday on Simon Cowell from American Idol. Very direct. I don't like that. You look terrible. That is a very direct person. Well, if you're that type of individual and you're talking to someone who's indirect, you want to change that because then you are liable to offend them. You're liable to make them feel dumb. You're liable to cut them off. And when you do all those things, the, whatever they could bring to the conversation in terms of their insights, their ideas, whatever, they're not going to bring them.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of times people will say things, well, I've been like this my entire life, but is it working for you?
Mm.
So you've been direct your entire life. Is it working for you? Do you have people who in a meeting are afraid to speak up because they know how you are? Is that working? On the reverse side, if you're someone who's very indirect, some people, they're too indirect. They're so vague, you kind of leave the conversation and go, well, what was their opinion? I don't know. They had so much, well, if I think, well, I'm not sure, my opinion is, and it's so out there that after a while you're like, well, I guess they went with it, I guess, I don't know. Well, if you're on that end, then you want to develop your ability to be more direct.
Exactly.
Being direct or indirect is not a right or wrong. It's who you're talking to, and in that conversation, are you having a good dialogue? Or are people just afraid to talk to you?
Right.
Or they asked you four or five times for you to explain what you said, and you kept going around in such a way that after a while they were like, well, we don't even take her seriously. So it's a matter of understanding where you are in your directness and then being able to adjust it. I always say you can turn it up, you can turn it down.
Yep. It's all a matter of being sensitive, and this is the important point. I want to give out your website. If we know that our listeners and those who are going to be downloading this show will want to get in touch with you, and it's justgetserious.com, justgetserious.com. You can also reach Donna by phone at 770-498-0400, and that's Donna Satchel at 770-498-0400. In 30 seconds or less, Donna, share with us a closing tip or point that you can share with our audience.
A closing tip, particularly when it comes to communication, I always recommend that people become a conscious communicator. That means you're not just on automatic. You have chosen what words you're going to use. You're looking at the person. You're fully engaged in what they're saying. You've decided that you're not going to take phone calls while you're watching TV. You're bringing consciousness to your role as a communicator, whether you're the speaker or whether you're the listener. And one of the things that's great about communication is anyone listening, they can decide as soon as they get off the phone or as soon as they stop listening to this, there's probably one or more tips that they can decide they're going to act on right away. Because probably within the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, they're going to be talking to someone.
True. This is fabulous. The chat room is, they're applauding. They say thank you so much, and you've empowered this person's day. This has been a great conversation. We will definitely have you back on. Donna Satchel, thank you so much for being a guest on my program.
Well, Carol, thank you so much for inviting me. It's been my honor. Whenever you would like to have me back, just let me know. Thank you so very, very much. I appreciate it.
Ah, this has been great. Thank you very much. All right. Well, we could talk about that subject all day, but I want to spend the last couple of minutes or so talking about the wonderful, wonderful Muslim forum that I attended this past weekend. It was several weeks in the making, and it was the Muslim Action with Governor Patrick, recognizing of our presence, our pain, and our power. And it was a very unique structure that was set up. There were about 1,100 no lie, about 1,100 people at the Islamic Cultural Center and Mosque in Boston. This is a newly built mosque. It was built about 2 or 3 years ago, several million dollars. It's a beautiful facility, open to the public. They have tours. They have a couple of shops inside. Just a wonderful experience. And I had a chance to go to this event. It was a free event. The governor of Massachusetts was there. And I want to bring this to your attention because these are some of the issues that are taking place around the United States with Muslim Americans because of 9/11, because of preconceived notions that people have about the Muslim community. Certainly with women and how they are dressed in the Muslim community. I sat there. I was fascinated because there were so many countries represented in the room. There were people from throughout the Middle East who are now living in Massachusetts. There are people who were from parts of Africa who are of Muslim descent who were there. There were Christians at this event, and there were also Jews who were there as well. So it was a rather ecumenical event, even though the majority of the people who were there were Muslims. Many families, there were whole families who were there, and the event was actually being organized in part by the Greater Boston Interfaith Organization, a very large and civically active organization in the Greater Boston area representing all faiths. They collectively and intentionally have gone and reached out to all faiths, regardless of your political, your economic, your philosophical, your philosophical point of view, your spiritual point of view. There was a seat at the table with the GBIO group. So they have a very unique way of presenting a forum like this. It's about an hour and a half long, very structured, where there are a couple of minutes of issues that are presented by various people in the Muslim community, and then a response by the governor. The governor was there, other representatives with the state. The governor is running for re-election, so this is a very important constituent for him. And over again, Governor Deval Patrick, with the various issues that were related and shared in the audience, came out wholeheartedly in support of definitely the Muslim community, definitely of equality and fairness for all. And his responses were not just for the Muslim community, they were related to everybody. One of the things that just really struck me was one of the young women who stood and talked of Muslim faith, and she said that she was walking down the street one day, and here in Massachusetts, a cab driver pulled up to her and said, "We should kill you all," and she was floored. And then she continued to walk, and he came back to her and said, "We should kill you all." And it was only until she pulled out her cell phone and she took a picture, I think, of his license plate, got his number, that he just drove off. And so under that set of circumstances, Governor Patrick said, you know, we don't tolerate that. We won't tolerate that. The Attorney General talked about, the representative for the Attorney General's office talked about a $50,000 grant that the department, that the State Attorney General's office is using to train law enforcement on cultural sensitivity issues. And it was just startling to see the kind of abuse that this group of people get because of the actions of a few. That's the most important piece as well. Also, there was a concern about not having prayers honored in the workplace, particularly Friday prayers, which are very important in the Muslim community. I'm going to find out more information about that so I can share that with my clients and my prospective clients. And so it is, here we're talking about communications and how important it is. What I learned was the importance of recognizing that the mistakes and the frailties of a very small population of the Muslim community does not represent the entire Muslim community. And certainly here in the United States, we have so many Muslims who are law-abiding citizens, who go to work, pay their taxes, etc., and they were definitely at the Muslim forum that I attended on last Saturday. I'm going to bring a representative from the Muslim community on my show in the coming weeks. And if you have any questions that you would like to have asked when I bring that particular guest on, feel free to email me at tellcarole, that's tellcarole, at mac.com, that's tellcarole. At mac.com, and I will be happy to put that on the docket and will ask the question when I have the representatives from the Muslim community to come on my program. It was just an array of beautiful people, all different colors, from all walks of life, beautiful garb. It was just a real education for me, and just a reminder that the world happens to be located wherever you are, whether you're in Ohio or California or Massachusetts or Kenya or England, you have an opportunity to reach out to people and to learn about another culture. And you certainly can learn it regarding communications and the like. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll get back to you next Thursday with another show. Take care.